in my own life, love and my place in the church. And my head went to so many different areas, but one of them was when I first came to Bible college, I had been so undone by the world and high school and growing up in a house that had some friends in it that were not of this world. And it was an old colonial house in New England, and it was just a lot of negativity in my home and a lot of verbal abuse and a lot of, you know, drugs and alcohol and, you know, just being a mess during the 60s and 70s in New England. And I was undone, and I came to the body of Christ, and I didn't know what it meant, friendship. Didn't know how to be a friend. I didn't know what a friend meant. I had no idea what it meant. And the body of Christ was so loving and so incredible, but I said, Lord Jesus, how do you be a friend? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm 18 years old. I have no idea what it means to be a friend. And the Lord spoke to me this Rima, that every single person in the world, be it the tiniest, smallest child to the president of a country, needs love, needs to be loved, wants to be loved. And we have that love inside of us. It's uncreated love, that we have this love to give to people. And it's an initiation of a supernatural, uncreated love, that it's delicate. It is, it gets hurt easily. Some people are like, oh, don't try to love me. You're so cute. You know, it's like belittling, you know, if you're loving. But for the most part, people love to be loved and they want to be loved from the smallest to the greatest person in the world. That's why we could be in Haiti on the mission ship and love the little urchin on the street with the same love that we were meeting with the ambassadors of whatever in a gathering in the evening. You know, but the same love was there expressed, because it's uncreated and it flows through us. So love and your place in the church. And I also just wanted to say that the love of God in us, our place in the church, who are we in the church? We are the bride of Christ. We're part of the bride of Christ. So love and your place in the church. What is your place in the church? Your place is a position of being seated above in heavenly places as the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So we're seated above in heavenly places. We are hid with Christ inside of God. We are in Colossians 3, 1 through 3 and 4, where Christ is seated above and we are in him. So my place in the church is that I am seated above with Christ in heavenly places. And when the demons of hell come against us, we have this authority over the demons and the hellish attacks that come against us. We have so much authority that God has given us in our position that we take the word of God and we use it against anything that is coming against us, even undefined things or something that is obvious. And we can define it and say, demon of whatever, you have nothing to do with me because of my position in the heavenlies. And let me just tell you what that is, demon or atmosphere or whatever it is coming against me. I am a bride of Christ. I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I am a fellow heir of Jesus Christ. I am hid with Christ inside of God. I am the bride of Christ. You have nothing to do with me. You have nothing to do with me. And we take this authority as our portion and who we are, hid in this incredible, uncreated life on this earth. This, the closest that some people will ever be to heaven, will be in touch with us. And the closest that will ever come to hell is us being in touch with the world. And Pastor Schaller has said that. It's an amazing thing. But we have this incredible authority given to us to use our position in the body of Christ against the demons of the atmosphere. And they have to flee. So when you start out loud confessing your position in heaven, when you confess it out loud to the demons, and I love our authority. And mothers, I've just told a mom whose child was completely controlling her. And I got to say, you have been given an office of mother by God in heaven. You have been given an office of authority in your home as mother. Take control of your child because she doesn't want to be in control. And you're letting her control the whole home. It's crazy, destructive, and you're making your life is so complicated. So take your authority that God has given you, and this authority is amazing that we've been given. So who we are in the our place in the church is being hearing the word of God, loving the word of God, receiving the word of God, agreeing with the word of God, and letting line upon line take its place in us every single time we come and we hear the word and we mix faith with the word and we agree, and God pours depth into us and gives us a soul structure that we never had before. I mean, I was undone as a teenager. I was this little crushed plant that had been, I was so delicate and I was crushed. And God just said, I'm going to remake you. And all of a sudden this little crushed thing started to grow. And here I am speaking to you. It's a miracle. But this is what the love of God does inside the body of Christ. And we nourish each other and we come and we listen to the word of God. We agree with the word of God. And we take our place in authority in what Christ has given us on this earth as fellow heirs of Jesus Christ seated above in heavenly places. And it's an incredible gift that God has given us. So with our volition, we say, yes, Lord, yes, I agree with you. Lord, the Holy Spirit in me and me and the Holy Spirit agree with the Father and Son in heaven. We agree with you. Whatever you're talking about in heaven right now, we agree. We're in oneness. We're in complete unity. And we enjoy this incredible authority that we have over the demons of the atmosphere and the sword of the word that you take and you speak it to the atmosphere and you say who you are in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, we are seated above. Ephesians 5:26 and 27. Revelations 19:7, that we are the bride of Christ. And utilize this. It's amazing how fast the devil flees from you when you quote out loud these scriptures. You list them off. I was riding my bike down in Berlin, riding my bicycle. I was under the most unbelievable attack, this crazy severe attack, and I was under it. And I went, oh, I know what this is. This is the demon of fear and intimidation. Because imagine Berlin, Germany. Those demons are still there, fear and intimidation. What they did in those years past, they're still there. And I said, oh, that's what this is. Huh. Well, let's just talk about this. And I started to list who I was in Christ. I said, I'm riding my bike talking to myself. People must have thought she's whacked out. I'm riding my bicycle going, oh, this is the spirit of fear and intimidation. I said, oh, do you know who I am? I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a fellow heir of Jesus Christ. I am seated above in heavenly places. I just went on and on with the positional truths that were listed one by one by one. And I nailed the demons. And I'll tell you what, later on that evening, I went, oh my gosh, it was so gone. The attack was so erased. The devil fled so fast that I didn't even recollect that it had even ever happened. And later that evening, I went, oh my gosh, that happened. Wow. It was so gone. I was delivered immediately. And that's the power we have in the body of Christ. And the love that we have and our place in the church is a place of authority. So enjoy it. Enjoy your authority. Okay? In Jesus' name, amen.
That's the longest walk I've had on those high heels. Oh, welcome. I'm so glad to be here. My name is Renata Knechciak, and I come from Poland, Warsaw. It's a little country in the middle of Europe, and some of you visited us at Eurocon, and it was such a privilege to have you here. And I'm so privileged to be able to talk here, and sit among the greatest of the greatest ladies on this earth. Actually, this church has been for many years a blessing to me, to my family, and I'll just say a little bit, maybe some of you don't know me. I was born and raised in a Christian home, the youngest of nine. Half my family moved here to the U.S., and my parents later on in their life, they were retired, they moved to Ohio to join our siblings. And Actually, when my parents were moving here, I was in Bible college here in Hartford, and I was with Pastor Mawaka and Pastor David and Karen. They were my family here. They were hosting me for a year. And actually, this year in Bible college was life-changing. So I got called to go back to Poland here in Baltimore, and my family said, you can't go back. It's a, like, I don't know, it's turmoil, it's communism, you can't go back. And I'm like, I have to go back because God called me there. And they said, you've been brainwashed. So it was very difficult because we want approval of our family, but I said, no, I have to go back to Poland. And actually, I was there for many years, and I got married there. We have two beautiful sons. They're adults now. David, you probably know him. He was in Bible college here for 2 years, and now he's in Budapest. And my younger son is still with us in Poland, 20 years old. So it's really, I mean, like, I could talk, like, the story, I could talk forever, but I don't want to take too long. But I just want to tell you that we returned this year, and we went to visit my family in Ohio. My parents are deceased, but my three brothers and one, my sister is there with their families. There was a big family reunion, all the connected families. There were about 70 people. And you know what? And I was like, I love this family. I love being with family. But whenever I would visit them, they would say, you have to move to America. What are you doing there in Poland? I was like, we have a call. We have a church. We have a mission. And this year I was there with them. And as much as I love this time, it was like, I know I have chosen properly. You know, it was a good choice. It was the best choice. And although I love my family, I love my church family. So I was looking forward to coming to this week here to be with all of you, because actually I get touched, I get fed, and you know what I'm talking about. Once you come here for the convention, right, it's like the greatest, it's the festival. Like when my coworkers, let's say, they say, what are you going to be doing in America? And I'm like, I'm going to a conference. And they're like, really? What are you and I'm telling them, it's a festival. We celebrate. We celebrate our missionaries. We celebrate each other. So it's great to be here. Now, when we came here, I was asking God to give me a message. And actually, as we were driving back from Ohio, God gave me this message. Like, I was falling asleep, and then all of a sudden I woke up, and I'm like, there is this thought about Jesus dying on the cross. And I asked God the question, was it worth it? And he said, how can you ask this question? Look at the people that are here. Look at the people that I've gained through my sacrifice. And that's the topic that God put on my heart. We've many times had a mission to accomplish. We had a goal in mind. We had a journey to take. We had children to raise to be what we wanted them to be. We had tasks to do. And when we've had this goal in front of us, it was so much easier to accomplish. Like, even us on this journey here, my husband really wanted to see the Noah's Ark in Kentucky. So it took us 2 days to travel from Pennsylvania to Kentucky. And, you know, it was a journey. It was fun, right? But it was also tiring. You know, we were like in the car, stuck in the car. But once we got there, we saw this picture, right? I mean, it's right behind me, right? The Noah's Ark and my husband and I in front of us. It was huge. So if you've never been there, it's like amazing. I recommend that you go and see it if you can. It's actually to glorify God, I would say. Like all of the elements there, the experiences, glorifying God and what he has done to Noah, and also like there is a message preached. But was it worth to travel? Of course it was. It's fun, right? But there are other examples that we could use. And for example, let's think about for a moment about something maybe less pleasant, but also like with a goal in mind, a missionary setting on a journey. They go to a foreign country and they don't know what they're gonna see, what kind of people they're gonna meet. And oftentimes there are difficulties, like you don't eat the same food as you eat at home. Your living conditions are different than what you're used to. There could be some financial problems or maybe rejection from the people that you serve. But at the end of it, you may see something like this. And we can ask for this next picture, right? There will be people who accept Christ. And then you ask a question, was it worth it to go on a mission field? And of course it was worth it, right? The Bible says the value of a soul, right? How much is a soul worth? And I was talking to a lady here from Paris. Her name is Hedwige. I hope she's here. Is she here? Oh, she's translating, right? So, yes, she was telling me that for a few years she was doing the master's degree here in Baltimore, and she would travel here to Baltimore a couple times a year to study. And it's quite difficult, you know, like to get your money together, to get going on the plane, travel for this many hours. But at the end, she completed her master's program here. And was it worth it? I'm sure she will say yes, definitely, right? Even though there were some difficulties on the road. And we can quote so many examples, like a mother bearing a child, right? Going through pregnancy. And then the pain of labor, right? And then seeing a baby. Was it worth it? Of course it was, right? Or raising a child. And if you're in a Christian environment, we want them to turn out to follow God, right, with their whole life. So there is sleepless nights, there is teething, there is the difficult two-year-olds, there is teenage days. But at the end, you hope you will see something like this, right? The family that prays together, that reads the Bible together, that follow God and lead an example for the rest. And although I think this is a little bit, of a dream picture, right? Not all the families turn out this, or not all the children choose the road that we would want them to choose. But you must be sure that you've done all you could. You've done a really good job. And I was actually comforted yesterday when the group was singing the song, "It is finished, the battle is over." And God comforted me in this, that our children are in His hands, that we're praying for them. And they are in His hands. And He cares for them more than we do, right, if they don't choose the road that we would like them to choose. But eventually, they will be saved. They will be with us. And now the last thing, the last picture, not yet, though. I want to save it for the last moment. I think you know what I'm talking about. The journey that God chose for His Son, right? This is the greatest rescue mission in history. And I know that you know about it. There was the greatest sacrifice that Jesus took. And there was a father who had a son, but he was ready to adopt many more children to his family. So the children that he wanted to adopt, some came from a full family. Some came from a single mother family. Some came from a parentless home, right? They had no parents. And some were good kids, some were bad kids. Some wanted to be adopted, some didn't want to be adopted. But God knew what was their greatest need, because He had put this need in their hearts. So He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, right? And as we look at His outstretched hands, I'm sure that we can ask a question, really, God, You would sacrifice Your Son for us. Was it really worth it? And we go back to the answer, yes, it was worth it. I would do it again just to have you with me. I would do that again. And my prayer for you is that you would have something that I call personally a love revolution. And let me share a little bit about my story. Although I come from a big family, and the youngest of nine, I had not experienced, I don't know how to say it, but I didn't feel loved. Oftentimes I would feel like I was adopted by this family. Maybe because there were so many of us. And I never heard the word, I love you, from my father. And this was something that I really longed for. I wanted his attention. I wanted his... He did care for us, of course, and God, it reminds me now how much he cared for us. But there was a time when I was really like looking to God, and I was like, God, show me your father's heart for me. And I will never forget, I was 20-something years old, and I asked God to show me how much he loved me. So I would have my quiet time, and I would excerpt all the verses from the Bible that spoke about God's love to me. And actually, he did a love revolution in my heart. And this is what I encourage you to do. He showed me how much he loved me, me personally, you know, with even like he said, you know, the family that you were born to this family because I love you. The way you are, like your outer appearance, I chose this for you. Because I loved you and I wanted you to know my love for you in the way you are. And that was the greatest thing that could happen to me. He filled my heart with so much love. And I pray that each of you has this love experience, love revolution. And we heard today from Pastor Molly, and I would like to quote it, that we are loved by world's greatest lover. He said it at Grace Hour, and he loves to be loved by us. And this topic of this conference, love being the most excellent way, I think there couldn't be a better topic for us to draw near to God. And I encourage you. I know we are not perfect. We're like Peter, right, when he denied Jesus, and Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, God, I love you. And Jesus is asking him about this love that is so deep, that is so overwhelming, that is divine, the love that, like, do you love me with the love that I have for my Father? And Peter says, God, you know, like, Jesus, you know, I love you, but like a friend. I love you like a friend. And then Jesus repeats this a couple times, and then Peter is sad and says, God, Jesus, you know that I love you. And actually, he says, feed my sheep. And I thought about this because I thought that I am like Peter. He will ask me, Renia, Renata, do you love me? And I will say, Lord, you know that I love you. I love you, but I am imperfect. I fail. I have bad thoughts. I have a mess in my bedroom. I love you, right? And you know about it, right? And he answers, feed my sheep. And this quote, like this, feed my sheep, is like, tell them how much I love them. Because to feed somebody means to give them something that will satisfy them. And what will satisfy other people's longings is God's love, right? So tell them how much he loved them. He loves them because he loves them just like he loved you. And that's the greatest thing that we can do. And I think that's all. Thank you.
I just want you guys to realize that she is serving in Warsaw, Poland, and that's where we had the European conference. And that's where we're going to have it again. So I want to encourage you to save your money and sign up for the Warsaw European Conference so then we can be with Renata there too, okay? And now we have Mrs. Krista Regan. She's been a teacher for many years. She taught in Hungary. She's taught here at GGCA, and most recently, she's teaching her little boy how much she loves him. Miss Krista Regan.
Hi, y'all. So I'm from Tennessee. My mommy is here, so I wouldn't do any due diligence unless I had her stand. Please, mommy. Please. I know. You got to get up. You got to be embarrassed. Yeah. She's part of who I am. So just for a moment, I'm going to pray because, Lord Jesus, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't want anything from my words, but your words alone. Use me as a vessel unto you. In your name, amen. Okay, sorry, I'm a teacher, so I have to move around. And this may go like this. So there's lots of women, and I know women love to talk, even if you don't speak the same language. So just, it's, you know, Thursday afternoon, you know, long convention week. Just talk to the person next to you for like, you know, a minute, and try to come up, like a list of things. What is your position in Christ according to the word of God, and what is your identity in Christ? So I'm going to be quiet. You got to talk. See, that minute went by so fast, didn't it? So when we think about our place or position, like in a body, I think of the word place like a place at the table or like setting a place for somebody to come over for dinner. But a place can change depending on maybe who you're with, where you're going. But a position, like Kathy Grinwald said, our identity in Christ doesn't change. And that must be the root of any place that we have anywhere. So in Ephesians 1:6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And we think that when we are hid within Christ, we are vessels unto honor. But like Pastor Bailey read that verse last night when he read it, I was like, those things. But when we are in ourselves, we're like quite the vessels unto dishonor. So it's like we just hide ourselves in Christ, and that is the perfect place for us. We are heirs of the Abrahamic covenant. We are daughters of the king. We are princesses. You know, we are the children of God. So much of identity crisis comes in, like, I don't know what my place, I don't know what I should do. But first, before you get busy doing, like, Martha, Martha, you know, like, chill out. Like, who are you and me? Because if I please God, then I don't really care about pleasing men. Of course you want, when you set a table, you want it to be nice for your dinner guests. But when you please God, do I really care if they like what I cooked? No, because I did it, Colossians 3:23, unto the glory of God and not unto the glory of men, because that is vain and empty. So having a position or having an identity, then you can start reaching out. But if you don't have this, like Pastor Shibeli, then you can't have this. You know, like you're pouring out your empty vessel and then, you know, it's just broken on the floor. Like, hey, yeah, there's some broken glass. Great, clean that up. So that's what I think of when, because I have been in that position where I'm like, what is my place here? Or how do I talk to this person that doesn't speak a lick of English? And, you know, and I don't speak their language, but love can go beyond that. Like, how do you do that? So it stems from your identity in Jesus Christ and being, you know, not an orphan. I love that not an orphan mentality, but an adopted one. like Abba Father. My second thing I was thinking of, when you're trying to maybe find or your place or exercise your gifts in a church, that it has to come from a relationship with God. Because once again, if I'm not doing this, then I'm not going to have this. That it must be from Christ, that I'm talking to Christ about people. I'm asking God for prayers for another person, and then it can go horizontal. It must be vertical, like talk to God about other people before. Often it's horizontal. That's just my example. I don't really know about everybody. But, like exercising your gifts. I would say in many ways I don't know what my gifts are, and that's probably a good thing. Or you don't know always what your place is, no matter what country you're in, because God doesn't want you to walk in. He wants you to walk in confidence, but not in pride. Like, this is my place, so I'm the event coordinator. Everybody else, get out. That's my job. Dun-da-da-dun. Like, superstar, you know. And then you can do everything in the energy of your flesh. But He wants us to be humble, and maybe that's what you're wonderful at. And then He takes that away and says, okay, now who are you? And if you don't know who you are with God, then serving a body is going to be a little tricky. And then one example, I don't know if many of you do puzzles. I actually don't, but I've tried before, like jigsaw puzzles or long puzzles. And if you close your eyes and think, you know, when you're trying to, you have like, you know, 5 or 6 empty pieces left. You've been working on it for hours and hours, and you're just trying to, like, cram the piece in there. Like, come on, get in there. Like, I know you're going to. And then you're turning it. No, it doesn't fit. It doesn't. And I think of the conference we had a few years ago that was fitly framed. And there are, like, we can't say we're an empty place. You know, God fits us perfectly. And, you know, and then when you turn it the right way, you're like, ah, yeah. You know, God fits us perfectly into the body as it has pleased Him. And when the piece fits perfectly, you cannot even say, I don't fit. Oh, I don't belong. I'm sorry, whiny. I don't belong. I don't know what to do. This is not right for me. I'm just going to church hop until I feel comfortable. Baloney. Okay? You know? Sorry. You know, no, you fit in the body where God has put you. And it doesn't matter who likes you or who doesn't like you, who you get along with or who you sandpaper, you fit because God has given you the place. As I thought about this topic, I remembered my father one time. A man had left the church, and he was telling the man, no, you can't even say you don't fit. He was giving him all the reasons why he didn't fit in the body here. And my dad said, you can't say that. I mean, you can, but it's not the truth. Because I just want to read it, so I make sure I get it right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. So we, even in our insecurity, don't have the right to say, I don't belong. Because He said, you please me. Tina Reeves, you please me moving back from Hungary. You fit. Pekarik, you pleased me where you are in Russia. Mommy of many things, you please me being a grandmother and giving words of season to the body in Baltimore. Wherever God has placed you, you fit. Well, I'm at home changing 10 diapers a day, or maybe 12 if we have some blowouts. You fit, you know, in your endless diapers unto the glory of God. And when we have our identity in Him, and our place and in Him, then you kind of use your gifts and you don't even know you're using them. But when you do hit a valley and you don't know, like, okay, I'm moving to a new church. You know, God said, go, Abraham. So He said, I'm going to show you a place. Like, come on, we don't know where we're going. Like, you have to trust God that He's going to give you a place. And if you don't know what to do, if all else fails, just love other people. If you are about your Father's business in Luke 2, you will never be bored. You'll never run out of things to do because there's always, like they said, somebody to love. There's always somebody to serve. So sometimes you have to, when it's uncomfortable in a new place, in a new church, in a new body, a new family, launch out into the deep in Luke 5. You know, just cast your net and God will use you. Make a decision to love other people. Make a decision not to have a self party. Oh, it's about me. I can't find. Well, sometimes you can't find because you can't stop looking at yourself. You know, like look for others to love and minister to, and you will find your place anywhere. All right. God bless you.
Those were some awesome portions. Like, wow, that was really, all three of you, really, it was amazing. Thank you. Little nuggets that we can take with us, right? Like not a long thing, but little nuggets that we can take with us. So that concludes our ladies' session this afternoon. And thank you for coming. We look forward to seeing you tonight. Service at 7 o'clock, okay? And then they are going to have rehearsal for that, music rehearsal for that. So if we can clear the chapel. Thank you.